Right, back for another year. You're very welcome along to the Sideline Cut podcast. Luke Liddy here with you alongside James Ryan. We're here for another year of it, Jim Bob. Another summer of championship hurling. Really enjoyed it last time round. And I know you've missed it as well. You text me ever so often saying how much you missed the podcast and coming in here to Live 95.
Yeah, I suppose we were going into darts there for a while over the Christmas. You were being called Luke the Nuke and stuff after Luke... Luke Humphreys and the other Luke playing Littler. Each other. Luke Littler, I forgot his name, Luke the Nuke. So that's your new nickname for the year now. Hopefully your accuracy and punditry is as good as his was at the darts. But yeah, look, big talk around. Obviously, playing our neighbours. The Munster Hurling Championship is nearly the kind of, I suppose we'd like to say the start of the summer, even though it's in April. Big talk around coming on early. I don't think people are still in the mindset or obviously the tradition of the championship being on so early there. But I can guarantee you come Sunday when the ball's been thrown in, it'll feel like Munster Championship. And again, the battle for tickets going on, as we'll do for all the Munster Championship games, because the capacities of crowds and the interest that's there. So yeah, really, really, really looking forward. We can see that all the underage inter-county games are going on, so there's giving us little starters and little feelers for I suppose the big game, and even looking at the championship so far, there's been a lot of maybe football games going on, the whole lot. So it's always a big weekend, especially down here in Munster when the hurling championship starts.
I often think about, obviously you work in hurling with the development side of things, obviously the grassroots, so coming into championship I know you're excited, but do you get stick for it at home at all? Is it non-stop hurling with you all the time?
Yeah, sure. Look, I suppose with any job, there's kind of burnout, and you nearly want to talk about cricket or some other sport to get away from hurling at times. But even though it's my job, no more different than anyone else around. Maybe it's the circles I meet, but GA is part of our life. Sport is part of a lot of people's lives, whether it even be in the city. I know it's maybe soccer and rugby can be popular, and obviously hurling and football is as well, but sport is a topic of conversation everywhere. And even though it's the job, this is slightly different. You're still a fan when and a past player, and you like to see the jersey going well and all them kind of things. But sport is our hobby, it's our pastime. I know it's my full-time job, but it's just great to see us in the place we are, and we don't want to reflect too much about what we've won, and there's no future in history and all that, but it's just great that we're in these times going for five in a row, and that we're going down, and Limerick can be part of these occasions in the Munster Hurling Championship, going down playing Clare. There is a lot of counties that would love to win a provincial title, that to get to a provincial final, whether it be in hurling or football, and we do take this for granted that we're a big county, we've going well in the hurling, and rightly so, given the size of the county and the whole lot, but it's just great and fantastic to be where we were, and let's never see a 45-year wait again.
Yeah, well, I was looking forward to getting back into the studio and back into work after the week I had, because I had the young fella's confirmation. We had two parties, let alone one, two parties for the confirmation, and family in and out of the house, renovations, all that. So I was happy to get out of the house and into the studio. But I'll tell you one thing, the kids kind of coming and going into the bouncy castle, Limerick jerseys are the flavour at the moment, over the likes of Liverpool jerseys, Manchester City, Manchester United. So the buzz is really real in Limerick. You can see it from grassroots the whole way up. I know that the numbers are rising all the time, which is great to see. But we're here to talk about championship hurling. We might get in maybe a bit of trouble for saying it this early, but the drive for five, it starts now.
Game over! Limerick, 4 in a row! All-Ireland champions for the fourth year in a row! Absolutely incredible! Arguably the best performance of the John Coyley era in that second half.
It's only Cork and Kilkenny that have done the four in a row before. I suppose to be able to say that we're sitting at that table with them now, it's quite special. Like, it's cool enough, to be honest. So just even lying down the bedroom off up this morning, just thinking about that and letting it soak in, it's just nice.
Gallan moving one way, moving another, up over the shoulder, can't get close to him. More of a hour from Aaron Gallan, 116 to 114. He is poetry in motion.
I still have to pinch myself sometimes to believe it. Yeah, like, growing up, you're always going to the finals with Cork, Kilkenny, Tip, and to be in it now, playing with Limerick, you're Sean County is it's just unreal. You can see the boost it's given to all the kids, the whole county, and it's long may continue. Hopefully there's another few minutes.
Hand pass away. What's the referee doing? Tony Kelly barreled out of it by Peter Casey, and the referee says play on. The ball's on the ground, the clock is over, the referee's still watching on. Kerr on the ground, don't lose possession. English has it. Limerick not fouling, the player ends up on the ground, the referee blows the final whistle, and Limerick are Munster champions. Five times in a row. No, not to finish the game deserved, but what a win in the end.
They're going mad. Clare going mad. Look, the game had everything. And the most important thing, and as you say, goes down the roll of honour in the history books. Limerick win the game, we're five times Munster champions, and another great day in the Gaelic Grounds.
Ultimately, nearly all of these games come down to which team wants it the most and is willing to go to the darkest of places in order to actually do that.
Said when you were growing up as a child in Limerick, all you wanted to do was play for Limerick and play in Croke Park and win one All-Ireland, and be standing here now having won five.
All that outside talk, whatever other people are saying, leave them at it. Like, you know, we go into training there 3 or 4 nights a week, and that's solely our focus.
Casey from away out on the far side, the left-hand side, the eye is in. Is it going over the bar? Oh, what a score! Away towards Garrod Hegarty, tries to get a gallop up. Garrod Hegarty with a swing and a hurley. The crowd will roar this one over. The man from St. Patrick puts it over.
Conor Sarmiento, Conan Curran, Shaw Glocka, their son Fearon, Limna!
Now, Jim Bob, I suppose something to get the juices flowing ahead of championship. I want to ask you a yes or no question just before we move on. Before a slitter is pucked into championship, five in a row, yes or no?
Yes. Yes, but there's a lot of there's going to be a lot of ups and downs. It's not, if it was as straightforward as that, I don't think any of us would watch sport or anything like that. No, I suppose yes is the answer to your question, but to give it a bit more context, I suppose. We heard John Kiley there in that promo saying it's about the team that wants it the most. I know it might sound simple, but all us pundits and the whole lot, we talk about hunger. If your question is as simple as, are Limerick the best team, hurling team in Ireland this year? I would say yes. I don't even have to clarify why. It's they have the best hurlers, they're the best team, the best system, all that kind of stuff. But it's... who wants it the most? And I am by no means saying that Limerick don't want it this year or anything. It's just I keep making the analogy that if you keep feeding a hungry dog, eventually it walks away from the food. Being involved with an inter-county team myself for a period of time, or even talking to inter-county managers or trainers, you can gauge whether the team are going well or not through the league or through training between the league and championship. Maybe they went away in a warm weather training and they said, oh, but you don't fully know until that ball is thrown in on Sunday where your team is at. It's championship. It's a different animal. We hear players and managers and everyone talking about it all the time. It's knockout to a certain degree. I know it's a group stage, but we'll be talking about permutations, all that kind of stuff as the weeks go on. But it's the first proper game of hurling where there's something meaningful in it, where there's going to be a fix if you lose and all them kinds of things. And again, injuries and all them kind of things come into play. But if you're asking me, are Limerick the best team in Ireland? Yes. Will they win the five in a row? I think yes, but obviously there's going to be ups and downs, peaks and troughs and every kind of a thing going on. So long year ahead.
Yeah, you talk about the hunger, and so they always talk about the great sports teams, and can they go back to the well? Can they continue to make those little improvements to kick on? But if you look at it from the other side, the other counties' points of view, in terms of throwing everything into the games against Limerick, we saw that the kitchen sink is thrown in against Limerick, sometimes to the detriment when you're playing the next weekend. You see a dip off in performance, the likes of Waterford last season, the dip off after putting everything in. It's a lot better to try to get that hunger and reflect on the good times that you've created than try to go back to the well after you've suffered a losing season, surely.
Yeah, like you've come up with a couple of very good points there. The first one is, I suppose, from Limerick's perspective, is you're on about the hunger and all that. When you done the promo there and you heard Dan Morrissey and Dermot Burns, like Dan Morrissey said, you nearly have to pinch yourselves at times. And the way the Dermot Burns and Dan Morrissey were nearly talking in that promo, it's like they only reflect on what they've done after they win an All-Ireland when the year is over. and it can sound quite refreshing. No wonder the hunger is still there when they're not admiring themselves in the mirror. Look what I've won and die great, where they're still in the moment, they're still present, they're still going through this process that everyone, every sports person loves to use now at the moment, this process. But you came up with a very, very good point there. If we look at it from every other county's point of view, like whether it's been roaring and shouting and skin and hair flying in the dress, Clare dress room, or whether it's said nice and politically correct or whatever, I'm sure it's been said this team has won everything that ye want for the last numerous years. They're the team on the pedestal. And when you're on top in life or in sport, whatever, everybody else underneath you is trying to climb on top of your back and top of your head to get over you. So in a sporting context, every other county in their academy, at inter-county training, even the, if you look at the individual county player's mentality, a player from Cork, they are doing their gym session. They are looking at the strength and conditioning Limerick team, and they are doing that extra curl, that extra sit-up, that extra push-up, whatever it is. They have Limerick in their head. They're trying to get their game plan right, their tactics, because they see Paul Kinnock out with the tactics board. They see the way Limerick play. They see the way they run off the shoulder. So other counties are obviously taking all this in. We were trying to do the same thing for years upon years. What are Kilkenny doing? What are Tipperary doing? What are Cork doing? And obviously you want to know that and you want to improve on that. So I suppose it's about trying to stay ahead of the race, about staying out in front. But as you said, every other county is playing catch up. And the last point you made, and it did happen with a lot of inter-county teams. If we go back to the first round, and again, you'd nearly forget there were so many matches in that. If you go back to the first round of the Munster Championship last year, Waterford threw the kitchen sink at Limerick. They came with a different game plan. They definitely threw things up that Limerick weren't expecting. They kind of had a defensive plan. But the scary thing about it is they were able to transition the ball and quick counter-attacks. And to be honest, Waterford should have won that game. But the side effect of that for Waterford was they went out the next week against Cork and they were flat. And we saw a kind of a resemblance to a lot of teams that took on Limerick, whether it's having to go up a step in intensity, whether Limerick were hitting you harder, whatever the reason was that we can talk about, there could be loads of permutations why, but every team that played Limerick, they seemed to fall flat the following week. But if you take a team, and I will call maybe Cork this team, if I look at Cork in the last year or two, they've definitely upped their game in terms of strength and conditioning. The, if you look at the players out in the field, with the way they're togged out, their jerseys on, the whole lot, they look a little bit more conditioned. So they look like they're maybe more professional or more conditioned to take these hits, whether they've the skill levels and the game plan and all that. But a lot of the counties are upping their game and they're looking the part, whether they can play the part and get up to Limerick's level. But they're definitely doing all the 1%, doing all the unseen work that me and you don't see. We just think they went back training last week and that the match is on this week and they're ready to go. But look, every county plays catch up. There'll be a time, I'm sure, and hopefully long way away in the future, where Limerick will be the ones playing catch up and players go the extra yard. Who was it there? Was it Dermot Burns and Don Morris? He said, we dreamed of these days to come. It's what we've slept about, and any young fella that ever played into county hurling will say the same thing. You dream about Croke Park, you dream about lifting the Lee McCarthy and the whole lot, and at the moment Limerick are taking a lot of players' dreams away, and that's where other teams' hurt and hunger will be, and we just hope that Limerick can keep that hunger going.
Yeah, you look at Munster this season, you mentioned Cork there, and I thought Cork, if they managed to come through the round robin, looked aside this, probably would build into the summer and could have had a real crack at getting to an All-Ireland final. But Munster so competitive, we say it year in, year out. You even think of Waterford, who I suppose some people might be discounting, definitely capable of putting it up to any side on their day. We saw what they did to Tipperary on the last day of the season last time out, and Limerick then squeaking through to the Munster final that they won. But looking at it this year, I mean, there's so many different permutations that people are picking their top threes, and some of them are leaving Limerick out as well, given the competitiveness of the championship. From my point of view, I think it's going to be Limerick, Clare and Cork going through, not in any particular order. I think they're going to be the three sides progressing from Munster. Would you agree, or do you think maybe Tip can etch their name in there?
Yeah, I agree with you, because I picked the same three teams, not because I think your knowledge of hurling is unbelievable, and I agree with everything you say. I know, the reason I'm saying that, Luke, is I don't think either one of us, and we're having a little discussion off air there even, neither one of us are judging it totally off the league. And I know maybe as a county we got a little bit excited because Limerick so rarely play poorly for a half or even a game against Kilkenny the last day they played poorly. But there was a saying there with us in Limerick at times when we're doing our nutrition, like that one burger doesn't suddenly make you fat and one salad doesn't make you skinny. And it's the same in a sport in terms that one bad performance doesn't mean you're suddenly, you know. So and again, it was league. We don't know what training they were doing. We said this last year as well, the level of training. So, but the reason why I'm agreeing with the three of them, I think Cork, rating them off the league this year, they've played it very low key. Obviously, we always say players don't go out to lose match, whatever, but they definitely didn't set up and had the body language and the intensity of a team that were going all out to win the league. So they're coming in very much under the radar. And the reason why I'm saying Cork to come out of Munster, because I do firmly believe that Cork gave Limerick their toughest match last year. And that is not discrediting Tipperary drawing with Limerick last year, Waterford nearly beating them, and obviously Clare beating them. But I felt that the Cork game was the one game in the championship. It was the first game where Limerick had to win or they were out. They had to draw a win, and that went down the wire. I think Limerick only scored a point near the end. I think they might have pulled away by 2 points, but it went all the way. Cork were able to match them score for score. Cork play a type of hurling that actually kind of suits a great game of hurling to watch, but it's always close between Limerick and Cork. And after the Cork game, Limerick went on and won the Munster final, and then obviously they won the semi-final and the final, both second halves, blew Galway and Kilkenny away respectively. So that's why I'm saying Cork are going to come out of there. And then how can you look past Clare and Limerick? And I think a lot of people, I don't think there's going to be mouths open when we're saying the three teams that we are saying. So like Clare and Limerick speak for themselves, they're in the league final, and obviously last year, and they've been in Ireland semi-finals the last couple of years, and it's done on consistency. But still, the two of us aren't here totally writing off Waterford. As you said last year, Waterford should have beaten Limerick in the first round, and they beat Tipperary. It was a shock result. I remember their sub goalie sent their back, and they'd done a couple of changes. Were missing their big players, and they're going to be missing a couple coming into the championship this year. But they beat Tipperary and beat them where Tip had to win, and Waterford effectively had nothing to play for. So there's definitely going to be a sting in Waterford. As you said, they got a win last year. They probably should have had two. And I remember one of the other two games, I think Cork beat them fairly well, to be fair. But in the other game, they weren't, like, they were kind of a team that were able to get it right for maybe a half or 25 minutes, 30 minutes of a half. But sure, that's nearly all Galway and Kilkenny nearly managed from the Leinster Championship teams. And I'm not discrediting the Leinster Championship by any means, but when Limerick came in the All-Ireland Series, they only lasted against Limerick that long as well. So, and Tipperary then, the only reason I'm writing off Tipperary, and if Tipperary did come out of Munster, I wouldn't be one bit shocked. For what team, I don't know. But Tipperary, the reason I'm saying they're not coming out of Munster is because they're just so inconsistent in their performances. I think, like, you can look at Waterford and you can say they're missing a lot of players. I think Cork didn't go all out. I don't know, are they going a different approach? Pat Ryan's second year in charge, is he maybe concentrating on maybe getting something right throughout the league for the championship last year where they fell short or something like that? But Tipperary, whether it's league or championship, and Liam Kelly comes out, we want to win every game. So they're going all out. They're going hard all the time, full intensity and all that. And their performance can be so hit and miss. I think they had 3 wins out of 3 in the Munster Championship last year, and they were lucky to qualify finished. And then they went into the Galway game in the All-Ireland quarter-final, and they were just so, so poor. And then, again, they went into the league this year. They were fine. They were tipping away. It was only the league. And then they got to the league semi-final. And again, another totally their quality of play, performance, and as well with Tipperary as well, their team is unsettled. They don't really know. I think Cork, I was saying they were guilty for the last couple of years. I think Cork have a more settled team than they have for years, but Tipperary, they're kind of switching between goalies, they're switching between free takers, kind of switching, fellas are in and out. They kind of don't know their settled 15, so that's why I'm picking, same as you, Limerick, Clare and Cork to come out of Munster.
Yeah, just expanded on it slightly more than I did, just naming out the three teams off the top of my head there. But those are the three teams as well that I think will go through. But the Munster Championship, there could be a couple of twists in the tail. Who knows? The first game, though, is the big one. It's the one that all eyes in the nation will be on this Sunday. It's against the neighbours, Clare.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome along to Two Skellig Grounds for the 2023 Munster Senior Hurling Final between neighbours Limerick and Clare. We work together, we live together, we learn together, and we hurl together. If the 90s have told us anything, it's that neighbours should be there for one another, and that when good neighbours become good friends, that's what neighbours are for. Needs to win this one, does, been pulled and dragged and taken all over the place. Referee has the hand out. Garrone Hegarty, leave him off, ref. He pays on, and the 21 still going. Another foul off. Stop.
Oh my God, I've never seen anything like this before.
Across the halfway line he comes, tripped, pushed, fouled. Referee says no, no free. We play on, Clare in possession. Of course, Dan Morrissey, the ball's in the hand of Dimmer Burns. Burns gets the hand pass away. What's the referee doing, Tony Kelly? Barreled out of the 20 Casey, and the referee says play on. A linesman has blown the whistle. Referee hasn't seen it. The umpire, his hands up for wide. He would have slowed down. There's the final whistle. No, hold on, hold on. Referee's not. It's not the final whistle. It's not. There's people on the pitch. They take it all over, but it's not. Limerick not fouling. The player ends up on the ground. The referee blows the final whistle.
What kind of an ending was that? Limerick is out to 1 point win to a better second half. See the guys going onto the field. All over the place. Defence finally entitled to come onto the field. The ref's getting his carted off. Five McMackies in a row. Unbelievable stuff.
Jim Bob, this is, I think, the rivalry of the modern era, and this obviously Limerick team who've dominated over the past 7 years. It's Clare seem to be the team that are coming close to Limerick time and time again. Obviously, beat us at the Two Skellig Grounds last season. It was a tough one to take, but obviously ended then in that Munster final win. You talk about Limerick and Clare in the 90s. It was Clare with the couple of All-Irelands coming out of that one, wasn't it? And this one, it skewed massively in the favour of Limerick in terms of silverware, but Clare aside, that aren't afraid of Limerick and know they can go toe-to-toe with them.
Yeah, that's the big thing. And when you say they can go toe-to-toe and all that, they can match them in the intensity. I think there would have been talk around the whole country, if you watch analysis before the Clare game and the whole lot, that Clare maybe have a couple of gaps that they can be exposed in the whole lot. And I think they've found replacements for them areas. Well, if the league is anything to go by, they look a little bit more solid even than they did last year. They were missing Shane O'Donnell and Tony Kelly, given their form last year, over the last couple of years, missing the two of them throughout the league and still got to the league final and obviously won the league this year. So, yeah, looking quite formidable. But it's guess when you played him promos going through last year, because you would, on reflection, you'd forget a lot and it brings it all back. It was a massive talking point last year amongst the final, and Brian Lone and Clare or whoever made the decision, given Limerick home advantage. And again, look, if Clare won it, it's a bit like Bernardo Silva. If the goalie dive last night was the best penalty ever. So people in Clare were going mad over giving Limerick a home advantage, whatever. And
that's the confidence, though, isn't it? That's the not afraid of you. That's that element of it psychologically, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's a knife edge too. You could nearly go into that too much, where you talk, we're not scared of them, we're not scared of them. And actually, by talking about it all the time, you are scared of them, kind of a thing. But as a player, and I know people that argue, I've had arguments with people over the years about this, but as a player, I genuinely never understood, on maybe certain games, but I think Croke Park is a different place. I think it's more of an arena than a stadium. Just everything's built up so big around it, it's slightly different. But that's only, I find that different to any other stadium. But most stadiums are the same. And I know that players have the advantage of knowing the grounds or the goals and all that. But in general, I never bought in too much into home advantage in this. But look, I can't deny with facts. And Limerick have had found it very, very hard to win blow in Clare's home stadium, because did they make it into a fortress and all that. But again, all that kind of stuff, I think players have gone to a different level now, where Limerick aren't there. Like Declan Hannan and William O'Donoghue aren't at home, can't sleep because they're going down to Clare to play a match. And people would nearly the talk that they're scared to go down to Clare. But it's just... I suppose, to answer your question, Limerick were very, very lucky to come out of Munster last year. And like you asked me at the very start of this, will Limerick win the five in a row, and I said yes. It's not like I'm going back in or anything, but and there's a big but here. If they play like they did in the first couple of rounds, maybe it's an obvious them, but if they play like they did in the first couple of rounds last year, I don't think they'll get as lucky. There was a bit of a rubber green the way they came out. Now, you get the rubber to green that they performed quite well. They got better as the games went on, but if you lose to Clare, you've got an uphill battle. You've Tipperary coming, and if anything, if history's anything to go by, Waterford might have been flat last year, but Cork were actually the team that played Waterford after that and did the bye, and they came in, and like Tipperary will be able to put all their focus into Limerick. They'll be able to see their championship team. They'll have a game played. They'll be doing video analysis in the game. They'll be able to get their matchups. They'll be able to see the style they're playing. Obviously, Limerick have a couple of injuries, might be, but Tipperary have more of an advantage in seeing what Limerick are going to come with and the whole lot. And we still won't know fully Tip's team. Kyle Barrett, will he be back? Who's the goalie? But, and again, Tipperary were so bad in the league semi-final, there's going to be a sting in them as well. So it's a very, very important game for obviously both teams. The way we maintain mathematically, 5 points is kind of the target. And like when you're only playing 4 games and it's 2 points for a win, you do the maths yourself. You need what, a win and 2 draws, and a win and 3 draws. You need nearly to be unbeaten, or you need 2 wins and a draw nearly to come out, unless results go the other way. So, as a spectator, you can see why the whole country tune into the Munster Championship. It's very Americanized. It's every game has something to play for. It's a great championship, but not if results don't go your way.
And I suppose looking at the Clare team then, Jim Bob, obviously they got over the hurdle in the National League final, added their first silverware in a long time there, and got over Kilkenny, a side who've beaten them in the last 2 All-Ireland semi-finals. Was that of massive importance to Brian Lohan and his team, or are they kind of looking at it as just league, it really is a warm-up to championship? Was getting silverware massive? Because I did notice after the game, when they had just won and claimed their league medals, there was a lot of talk about Limerick, onto Limerick now, onto the championship. So it seemed as though that was just a stepping stone, and Limerick is really what was in the back of their minds.
Yeah, even the way Conor Cleary lifted the cup, there was much emotion in it, which I actually quite liked. Winning silverware is brilliant. Every team goes out to win. You've only 2 national titles. Everyone talks about the league, it's this and that, and they talk about it in a negative way. It's the only other national title you can win, but obviously the Liam McCarthy is the big one. But again, comes back to our point about can you over talk about it. I think like they need to settle down a bit psychologically. You could nearly feel Limerick, that they were going to play in Limerick nearly after the match, that they were, it felt like the preview, they were doing interviews right before the ball was going to be thrown in against Limerick, that they were mentioned so much. But again, they're preparing for Limerick, and the reason why I'm saying they're preparing for Limerick is they're playing the team that are going for 5 in a row. They have them in their home venue, the first round of the Munster Championship. They're after coming in after winning the league. It's set up just for an absolute epic battle. And again, that I know, like, it's a long time ago now, it's 11 years ago, but Clare still have a couple of All-Ireland winners that have All-Ireland medals, and they have the experience and the whole lot, like John Conlon, Shane O'Donnell, and Tony Kelly, whether Tony Kelly will be playing or not. But I suppose you asked about the Clare team. Before you even talk about their team, they actually have quite a formidable squad accumulated over the last couple of years. Between, I suppose, youth and experience, they have the likes of Rory Hayes and Shane Meehan and a couple of other young lads on the bench. Obviously, Adam Hogan, Connor Lean are all on the team the last day, Mark Rogers. So they've actually brought, like if we were talking from a coming up through the academy or bringing players on, they've quite a few nearly household names or players that are definitely up at the level and have proven themselves well in the league this year and in championship last year. A lot of them have put in unbelievable performances. So, yeah, and didn't you go through their team? Like, this is what I'm saying. I think everyone says you need a squad now to win. And I think that's because of the hits they're taking, the intensity of the game. For puck outs, you have to be on your game straight away. Sideline cuts, you've no time to switch off. And obviously, switching off is both mentally and physically. You're constantly on the run, you're constantly on the move, and that tires people out. So Clare, I think whichever team, my own personal opinion, whichever team win last, maybe it could be a draw on Sunday, but whichever team wins or loses, it mightn't be a massive problem for either team, because they're probably two of the best teams in the country without a doubt. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, look, the big talking point about the Clare team is Shane O'Donnell. Will he start? And if he does, will it be in the full forward line? And who's going to lose out there? Ian Galvin actually is probably, or David Reedy are probably maybe the two. Aidan McCarthy was very hit and miss last year. He had an unbelievable league, came into Championship, didn't he? He was kind of on and off, whatever, but he looks to be right back at form. And that's the one scary thing I have about going down to Clare this year and playing him. Aidan McCarthy was a little bit off form last year, and he looks like he's in really good form this year. Peter Duggan had him one unbelievable year back in, was it 18? And then he went away travelling. Just my own personal opinion, I don't think he ever got back to that vein of form, but he's shown signs of coming back to that form. His touches, his striking, his work rate, everything about it, he just really looks. And David Fitzgerald has been a colossus. He's every year he seems to be improving more and more. Dermot Ryan wing back solid. So look, the Clare team are in a good place. They look really happy with their management. They Adam Hogan, a corner back, looked really, really good the last day. I know he was on Owen Cody, and Owen Cody done a bit of down as well, but he was out in front and the whole lot. Conor Cleary really solid full back, so they're not a flash in the pan. As you said, even though Limerick have had more silverware over the last couple of years, Clare have been well able to compete with them. And look, I always get the impression, or I always did anyway, Clare will enjoy Limerick coming down. I think when you used to be playing Kilkenny, they were Leinster, we were Munster. I'm only speaking from my perspective. You used to be looking at them kind of nearly, these are a team to beat, but you wouldn't know much about them. This is a local rivalry, as far as I'm concerned. I think form goes out the window as well. It's like a local derby, whether it be Liverpool playing Man United, whether it be New Zealand playing Australia, whether it be, I don't know, all different rivalries. That this is a local, two clubs playing each other, Ballybrown playing Patrick's Well in the same parish. This is what this is. It kind of comes down to man on man, and obviously there'll be tactics and all that, but it's Clare v Limerick. Form nearly goes out the window, and it's a see who's best after 70 minutes kind of a job.
And you didn't even mention Tony Kelly there, Jim Bob, and I think that is, you mentioned that Clare have built a squad over the last number of years. I think that's testament to the squad they have built, because they came through obviously as league champions. Tony Kelly didn't play a minute of hurling a couple of years ago. They're coming into a big championship game, and Tony Kelly is a doubt to start the game. We'll have to see whether he's on the match day panel, and you'd nearly be writing Clare off.
Yeah, like I've heard and seen a couple of reviews, or it's been social media or on the papers, or whatever, about Tony Kelly. Oh, Tony Kelly's never done it in the big day. Do you know this kind of talk? And I think it's quite harsh, to be honest.
He's a generational hurler, like.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic player. And like, even if you go back 2013, he was their main player. That was the big day. We forget very quickly, because we look at what's present. That's the joy of sport. But no, from a Clare perspective, and I suppose even to give Tony Kelly a bit of credit, we rate Tony Kelly off Tony Kelly's performances of past, which is not a good thing. So when he gets to an All-Ireland semi-final, or he gets to a Munster final, whatever, and people say Tony Kelly wasn't great, you look at the stats, he could have 3 or 4 points got from play, which would be gold dust to most in the county forwards. Could have won a couple of frees, and he could have been playing as a sweeper type player. And like, when you go back over, he mightn't have been playing that bad at all, but we're probably rating him off what he can do. And as the championship heats up and you start getting into Munster final, All-Ireland semi-final and All-Ireland final territory, it's about your players, about how many players you have that are performing well, not one individual. Like, one individual can often win a game. Shane O'Donnell won in All-Ireland back in 2013. Walter Welch came on and was a star player. But it was all the players around him. And as you said, we didn't have to mention Tony Kelly there. And if Tony Kelly is missing, I think 2 or 3 years ago even, if Clare were missing Tony Kelly, we'd be giving Limerick a win by about 5 or 6 points. And I suppose we were kind of insulting maybe the Clare team. But now, even without Tony Kelly, they're formidable. They have forwards, they have great work rate, they have great camaraderie, they have a bit of a game plan. Mark Rogers, they can move around. Aidan McCarthy, David Reed, they can all get scores. And again, I just think that Clare, I'm not judging them off the league, I'm judging them off the last couple of years, their consistency. And I've never seen Aidan McCarthy, David Reedy, Peter Duggan, Mark Rogers, David Fitzgerald, And a lot of them are actually their forwards going as well. They look really sharp. They look like their chest is out. They look like they're enjoying the hurling, and that can be dangerous for the opposition.
Before we move on to the Limerick team, just another word on Clare here. I think the running off the shoulder in and around the square, the direct play, the pace, Clare are a side that really do have a nose for goal. I think we saw that throughout the National League campaign. We also saw that Limerick maybe faltered a bit in the... Not, I got given out to by John Kiley for saying it was the full back line's fault, because he says it starts further out the field, but leaked goals against Tipperary, leaked goals against Kilkenny, that could be a big factor. And I suppose it's not league where you're chopping and changing around your team, but you do have the likes of Sean Finn coming back in now, most likely going to start the game, but just coming back from an ACL injury, that could be a place that Limerick are vulnerable against Clare.
Yeah, well, I suppose, first of all, to solve a problem, you need to know the problem. And I think John Kyle even came out in an interview this week on about that they need to maybe be a bit more compact in defence. So sometimes the league is great for that. If you go back to the Championship last year, which I always think is as much of a gauge as the league this year, we weren't too worried about them leaking goals. And now I know the biggest problem you have at the moment is that Morrissey is... got injured through the league and hasn't played the last couple of games. Sean Finn only came back for the last game, the league semi-final. So, that's going to be a little bit of an issue. But look, I suppose if we look at the Clare venue as well, the pitch kind of plays a bit tight. Maybe it's kind of just the surroundings around it. I don't think there's a massive difference between areas of these pitches, but it's maybe the surroundings and maybe the stands aren't big. So it plays kind of tight. As you say, Clare are... well able to bring a man out, play a two-man full forward line and all that kind of stuff. But if Declan Hannan is playing, which is another thing, and more than likely he will be, he's very good at kind of playing on the D, knowing when to push up and knowing when to come back, and that protection for the full back line. And again, yeah, we've been leaking goals, but if we talk about the potential Limerick six backs, none of the six of them have been playing together throughout the league. In fact, there's always been two or three changes. The full back line in the league semi-final will be nowhere near the full back line against Clare the weekend. So you're talking about a problem. I suppose the best way of putting it is like you're giving out about a certain car. Oh, it'll break down on your way to Dublin, but you're not driving that car. You're taking a different car to a different venue. So I'm not too worried in that respect.
All right, well, we do await the team news. We're obviously recording this on Thursday. Jim Bob, the team, I think, coming out Friday night. I'm going to run through my probable team. I know you've written down your probable team as well. So I've Nicky Quaid in goal. I've Sean Finn, Dan Morrissey and Barry Nash, the full back line. Then I've Dermot Burns, Declan Hannan and Kyle Hayes in the half backs. Cian Lynch and William O'Donoghue in midfield. Obviously, Dara O'Donovan missing out through injury. Groat Hegarty. I've David Reedy in at centre half forward alongside Tom Morrissey. Then I've Cathal O'Neill in the inside forward line alongside Seamus Flanagan and Aaron Galan. I felt that just on the form, I think that Cathal O'Neill is such a common player, such a talent. I think that he's going to have a big say in this championship from a Limerick point of view. I think you need to get him in there. I know we saw him in the half-back line throughout the league. I think in that Peter Casey role with Casey out suspended, I think that it's kind of that deep-lying role, isn't it, where you have Flanagan and Galan inside. You'll have Cathal O'Neill kind of dropping back a bit deeper. And you look at that, I suppose, final third with Hegarty, Reedy, Morrissey and O'Neill kind of occupying that space, but obviously we know who they have behind them. I think it's quite a strong team. But I know you picked your side as well, maybe slightly different.
No, but you're fairly on the ball. We're only talking a player or two. I think you've probably 13 of the starting 15 on. Obviously, we know Dara Donovan's out. The management have come out and said that calf injury, and I believe that Adam English might be carrying a bit of a knock as well. So I think he might be out. Again, we've seen very little of Graham Mulcahy. He looks sharp enough now in one or two of the league games, but we've seen very little of him. Shane O'Brien is busy with the under-20s at the moment, and he could feature. He was out in the wing forward line against Galway in the league, and before he got sent off, he was looking really, really sharp. He was on a load of ball out there. But my team, My team, I just have slight changes, Luke, because and you could be dead right. They might put Cathal O'Neill into the full forward line, but I'm only going on the fact. I'm just thinking that maybe if being a manager, if you were really involved in picking this team, Cathal O'Neill has played an awful lot of the league in at half back, centre back in the half back line. And again, it's very, very hard for a player to transition from playing in the backs all the league and suddenly to go up corner forward. I know you're saying he's going to be playing out or whatever, but I'm sure the 20,000 or 30,000 Limerick fans going down when he's not scoring, they won't be saying, oh no, look, he was in the backs, he's playing out all the year. When you're a forward, they'll want scores. So I just think that I'll agree with you at the backs. I think it could be Nicky Quaid, Barry Nash, Dan Morrissey. Obviously, if Dan is right, and Sean Finn. Now, Mike Casey's a big question mark there. He could easily be cornerback instead of Sean Finn, and he could easily be fullback instead of Dan Morrissey, or they might put Sean Finn into fullback and play Mike Casey corner. But it's 3-14, but obviously you want to know my team. Barry Nash, Dan Morrissey, Sean Finn, if they're all there. I think they'll go back to type. I think they'll go back to what we know. Dermot Burns, Declan Hannan, and Kyle Hayes. And for that reason, I'm putting Cathal O'Neill out in midfield with William O'Donoghue. Well able to play there. His work rate is really good. He was fantastic in the league semi-final. He was really our shining light. He had an unbelievable game. And I actually wouldn't be shocked if, given, I don't think this was part of the plan, but this is why we play matches. This is why teams play challenge matches, see how fellas are going. I wouldn't be shocked if Cathal O'Neill was wing-back, just purely on his performance in the league semi-final was so good, and he was so dominant in the air. So he might actually be wing back and Kyle Hayes to midfield or something like that, but I've Kyle Hayes in the wing anyway, guessing my first 15. William O'Donoghue in midfield, as I said, with Cathal O'Neill, and then again it's the formidable back to type half forward line with Grod Hegarty, Keane Lynch and Tom Morrissey, and then Seamus Flanagan, Aaron Glenn, and I just put in Donico Adalig there. I suppose maybe I'm just looking at that. He deserves the start. I even thought the league semi-final last, he looked really sharp, came out, caught a ball, got a great score. I'm leaving David Reedy out because, again, haven't seen, I'd say he would have liked a bit more league time. He was playing centre-back there for one of the games in Thurles as well. Didn't see much of the league. Now, if he was on in Donegal Dalig, you basically put David Reedy into midfield and Cathal O'Neill down to the corner playing out. That more than likely is the one, but I just went slightly different than you did. And again, that's the biggest challenge I see going forward this year. And I'm using Donegal Dalig maybe as an example. If we were the management of the, if I was John Kiley, the manager of the Limerick team, and Donegal Dalig, just say Peter Casey is fit to play, and he obviously Peter Casey's out because he got the red card last day. But if Peter Casey was willing to play, and I'm not saying it's between Donegal Dalig and Peter Casey to play, but I'm just using this as an example, and Donegal Dalig was storming it all through the league, which he has played really, really well, and I'm the manager, and Peter Casey's been going really, really poor, just using this as an analogy, still when it comes down to playing Clare below under home ground in Championship, it's a talent, I suppose we have to compliment Jim Gavin of Dublin for doing. You know what Peter Casey can do. You still don't know what Adam English or Shane O'Brien or Donegal Dalig can do in the heat of battle when the pressure's on them and they're now a regular starter. So the biggest challenge, I don't know, is it going to come this year, but it's going to come kind of maybe in a year's two time, is the management making the big calls and a household name that maybe mightn't be motoring as well as they were, or a young fella coming on that, like to me, Cathal O'Neill is that fella this year that he's just been going so well and he was so damned to last that they've no choice but to play. Even if he wasn't in their thoughts, he's putting himself out there, the chest is out, he's going up into the air catching the ball, he's doing all the right things, he's going for scores, he's playing with confidence, this man has to start, kind of a thing. So there could be a few tough calls to be made through the year, because you've Peter Casey to come back, Darragh Donovan to come back, and David Reedy is one of them starters that I'm on about, and he could be on the next day. So and then you've Adam English and Shane O'Brien and many more chomping at the bit.
Jim Bob, will Limerick beat Clare and how will they go about it? Because obviously we've seen how tight the games have been over the last number of years. The several draws a couple of years ago, even a draw in the Munster final, Limerick getting over the line in extra time. The Clare win at the Gaelic Grounds, then the Limerick win in the Munster final at the Gaelic Grounds. Always only about a point in it. They're nearly like throwback games, aren't they? Man on man. And it goes back to this 15v15 hurling. I mean, is it as simple as you bring the intensity, you beat your men, and it's whoever wants it, or are you? Is this a lot more tactical than that?
If they do, it'll be a tight game. And the reason I say that is just, I suppose, on reflection, go over history, the whole lot. There's never a million miles between either of them. Even if Limerick were down Division 2 and Limerick won, and Clare won the Division 1 league this year, if Limerick were way off the mark, according to all the bookies and all that, it still ends up being a tight game. But just a few of the concerns I would have, like Darragh Donovan, Peter Casey out, two massive losses. Adam English, even, he's a fella that could come on and score 3-4 points there in 5 minutes. He could just set the world alight there. So he's a big loss too. But the biggest issue I have with the Limerick team going into Championship, and we had the same maybe issue last year, is whether it was because of injuries or because of team selections and rotation or whatever was going on. Limerick haven't played this 1-15, whether it be your team or my team, anywhere close to that 1-15 all year. Whereas Clare's 1-15, even if Tony Kelly and Shane O'Donnell are back, they've way more of a settled team going into Championship. Now, I think that's going to be an advantage. I think it's an advantage in your surroundings, knowing your players. If this game does come down to man on man and the game kind of takes on a life of its own, where tactics are kind of thrown out the window, and maybe, I don't know, if it goes all hilter-skelter, I think Limerick have a massive advantage that way, if you could cause that to happen. But if tactics come into play and both teams play to the way they are, I think Clare are a bit further ahead. I think Limerick would have loved another couple of weeks of training. That they obviously looked at, you can't get that. They knew the first round championship, they planned for this. But I think the training weekend might have picked up a couple of maybe niggles and knocks, and the weather wasn't great, and the league semi final maybe still a bit of a hangover of that. So I think it's going to be really, really close. I do think Limerick will win it. I actually think it's going to be a draw. I know I'm sitting, and that's not me sitting on the fence. I think it's going to be kind of one of them games where it's going to come down to the end, a bit like the Munster final last year. I think it's going to play out the same way. But for them reasons that I've said, I just think Clare have a more of a settled team throughout the league. They've had a more settled team playing consistently, and that's why I think it's going to be close.
The two Gaelic grounds and the pitch there, obviously, Limerick haven't been able to train there, as far as I've heard anyway, and obviously they like to get in and train there. Is that going to cause any sort of an issue? You hear about the trip to Portugal as well, and you're going over for a warm weather camp, and the weather doesn't play ball, and you're hit with rain, and like, can things as small as that throw you off course in terms of not being able to get into your home ground for training? We don't even know, is it going to be prepared for the tip game? We assume it is, but like, not ideal preparation, you'd think.
Yeah, I suppose an accumulation of a lot of things maybe can be a bit of a dampener. But look, I suppose every player is different as well, and we're all different human beings. We emotionally take things on, we take happiness and negativity and comments drawn at different things, but you can read into them things a bit too much as well. At the end of the day, it's not third world problems here. Limerick went to a warm weather training. The only disappointing thing about it was it wasn't warm, or it was raining. But in terms of preparation, if they're not used to playing in the rain and training in the rain, they weren't in Ireland for the whole of January, February, March. But no, look, it would have been disappointing. And obviously, from a psychological point of view, they went over, and I don't know about you, but I was jealous to hear they were going over to Portugal for a bit of sun, because we saw much rain, and it was just rain after rain. You didn't have to turn on the weather forecast. You could tell it was rain coming with more rain. So it was raining over there. So that would have been a massive kind of a blow to the psychology of it. But I suppose the only way it can maybe factor in terms of their performance is if it was kind of dragging them down a bit, where from that kind of hunger point of view, where they're raining again and the whole lot. But training in the Gaelic grounds, to be fair, whatever was going on with the pitch this year, a home advantage is home advantage, right? They might have only got one or two trainings there, but they know that place inside out. It's their home field. They've maybe they haven't had that many trainings in this year, but they're going for four in a row. Imagine the amount of times they've trained there. There's been years there where they've done all their training early in there. So I wouldn't think that was a massive problem. And the only side effect of maybe not being able to use the Gaelic grounds a bit because of the pitch was it to go back to their training grounds, where they're there the whole time anyway. They're familiar with the surroundings. So, look, I don't think any of the players I mentioned are going to be coming out with dim types of excuses. Not, they're gone too far down the line, Luke. They're going for five in a row. And if we were listening to Kilkenny a couple of years ago losing the tip five in a row, and they were giving out about their warm weather training not being warm, and that the Nolan Park wasn't ready for training, we'd be saying, geez, they're nitpicking a bit here. Like, so I don't think they're going to come out and give out about them things, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, it's a lot quieter anyway in the build up to this one, because last year it was Limerick aren't going to lose a game all year, they're going to stroll to four in a row, and John Kiley came out and called it a softening up exercise, didn't he? So we haven't had that kind of talk coming into this year's championship, which is probably good to be coming in slightly under the radar. A lot of people actually favouring Clare at Cusack Park this Sunday. That game throwing in at 2 o'clock. We'll have full live commentary of that. Yourself, Jim Bob, and Don O'Sullivan. I know it's going to be a cagey affair between the two sides. There'll be a lot of passion on show as well. Should be great. And I think 1,300 extra capacity added on as well. Where they're going to fit them in, I don't know, but it's going to be heaving inside in Cusack Park as it usually is. 2 o'clock, full live commentary of that one. Before we go, Jim Bob, just obviously the other game of the weekend, Waterford and Cork. I think you talked about Cork already. We did also mention that you don't really know what you're going to get from Waterford. They could cause an upset at Walsh Park as well, back to obviously their home venue after last season having to go to Semple Stadium. That could be a major boost for them as well.
Yeah, Davy Fitz's manager, and he's doing the whole siege mentality. Everyone's against us and we'll prove everyone wrong. Again, back to their home field, Walsh Park, who said it's redone, which is a kind of a big thing, and to be hoping to get a starting off with their new venue, their new facilities that they put in place, it'd be great to get off to win. It'd be interesting to see the Waterford team. They have a lot of big players out. Austin Gleeson obviously not playing anymore, and a couple of players injured, but I'm led to believe a couple of them bigger players might be back. So if they get Prunty and a couple of others back there, they might cause an upset. There's going to be a sting in them somewhere, as we said already. So I think Cork are in a good place. I think Cork are going to come out of Munster. If they don't come over Waterford the weekend, it's going to be a fair uphill battle for them. So I'm gauging Cork, but there will be a sting in Waterford somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's it for this week's instalment of the Sideline Cut. It's great to be back. It's great to be looking forward to senior championship hurling as well. Big, massive game to come at Cusack Park. Limerick taking on Clare, the neighbours, from 2 o'clock on Sunday. We'll have full live commentary of that. Hopefully, we'll be back next week talking about a big Limerick win and looking forward to that massive clash against Tipperary at the Gaelic Grounds as well. We'll talk to you then.